Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is so good. We have been going through the book of Revelation, and today we have part 25, which is actually the message number 26. It says in Genesis, our Bible text is from Genesis 6:17, which says, "Understand that I am bringing a flood. Flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will die." God spoke these words to Noah just before the flood. And God was so devastated and upset because the people, they didn't worship him. They worshipped all kinds of gods, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
So God was so much upset that he decided to destroy every living being on this world except those who were in the ark. Now, we have studied since December the book of Revelation, chapters 1 to 22. And we saw what God is going to do at the end. Last week, and the last 2 weeks, we have also seen the beauty of the heavenly abode, the wonderful Jerusalem, how beautiful it is, but also we saw the lake of fire. Today, I want to touch a subject that is starting these days, and it really belongs into the tribulation before Jesus comes back. I'm talking about the lie of climate change and global warming. We hear a lot of natural catastrophes and how people lost their lives because of them. We have here a picture of how some people see what is going to happen with a city being underwater. Extreme weather conditions in the context of climate change. So let me read a newspaper report. In February, a violent hurricane swept over northern Germany. Ships sank and were pushed ashore on the Elbe River. The hurricane, accompanied by heavy rain and hail showers, destroyed countless buildings, uprooted hundreds of thousands of trees. Countless people and animals died, and large areas were completely flooded and devastated for several months. In May, severe thunderstorms erupted over large parts of Thuringia, which is also in Germany, causing many rivers to rise several meters within a few hours. Over 2,200 people lost their lives. In July, the Ahr Valley is also in Germany, including some of his side valleys, was hit by an extreme serious storm and flooding, the likes of which the local residents had never experienced before. Hundreds of homes were destroyed, bridges torn down, crops destroyed, and hundreds were killed. In autumn, Violent hurricane swept through the Atlantic, killing thousands, sinking ships, and many people are missing. Not to mention the damage inland and on the islands. The Caribbean islands, as well as the south of the USA and Central America, were affected. In December, an unprecedented storm hit the British Isles and the English Channel, which triggered a tsunami in an entire North Sea area that killed around 10,000 people. The British Navy lost 13 ships and more than 1,500 seamen. Is this unmistakable evidence of the global warming? That's what people tell us. The hurricane I mentioned at the beginning in northern Germany happened in February 1648. The severe thunderstorm over Thuringia erupted on the 29th of May 1613. And the catastrophe in the Ahr Valley happened on the 21st of July 1804. Also in the years 1601 and 1910, the Ahr Valley was shaken by similar catastrophes. The devastating hurricanes on the Atlantic happened in the 17th century. And the heaviest storms ever hit the British Islands in the English Channel occurred in 1703. A drought, also known to hit the entire Europe in 1540. For almost an entire year, it had hardly rained over large parts of Europe. The main summer temperature was well above today's averages. A Swiss historian described the events of 1514 like this. He said, practically no rain fell for 11 months. The temperature was 5 to 7 degrees above the normal values of the 20th century. The temperature must have climbed above 40 centigrades in midsummer. Countless forests went up in flames. Acrid smoke obscured the sunlight. The water was already running out in May. Wells and springs dried up. The mills stood still. People starved and the cattle were slaughtered. An estimated half a million of people died in Europe. So I ask you, is there a climate change today? It has always happened. In 1924, which is not so far back, temperatures in Switzerland were so high at Christmas time that people went to swim in the River Rhine. There was a time in Europe when we had tropical climate. And there was a time when the whole of Europe was covered with ice. So there are lies about globalists who claim that today's agriculture and cars are destroying the climate. As you see, climate changes have always taken place. And I'm not even reaching back to 66 million years ago when a meteorite hit Mexico. Much of the weather of last year's have to do with solar activity and solar eruptions. Sunspots have always been active, but there are also massive eruptions, some spying out magnetic substance for hundreds of thousands of kilometers. The sun is always active and influences the whole solar system. These electromagnetic eruptions can influence the weather on Earth. Either it gets hot or it gets cold according to the solar activity. It can cause floods, it can cause droughts, and even earthquakes. For time's sake, I cannot go into detail about these things, but you can research it yourself. I would like to show you a few videos. People of this world think they can change the climate without God. There are conferences, meetings, and discussions, yet God is not mentioned. Can man prevail? Can man overcome? History shows that man is not able to do a thing. Let's see this video. Can you start again?
Can you tell us, why is it important to include a visit with the Pope during your visit to Europe to talk about climate change?
Well, the Pope is one of the great voices of reason and compelling moral authority on the subject of the climate crisis. He's been ahead of the curve. He's been a leader. His encyclical Laudato Si is really a very, very powerful document, eloquent and morally very persuasive. And I think that his voice will be a very important voice leading up to and through the Glasgow conference.
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Fight the climate crisis.
We must have ambition.
Not just from one country, or one industry, or one person.
It must come from all of us.
And the time is now.
The time is now.
The time is now.
We simply cannot
afford to wait any longer.
We are working together with the people and communities
that are daring
to build a better future.
This is ambition from the ground.
Join us.
Join us.
Join us.
Join us to act on climate.
The future I'd like to see is a future where everybody works together.
In Glasgow, we are looking for action.
Options and we need to choose.
There could not be a more important moment that we should have international agreement. The epidemic has shown us how crucial it is to find agreement among nations if we're to solve such world.
Praise God. We see what is going on in the world, and you see also the people, they think they can do something. Nobody says about God, but everybody says together we can change the climate. People say we can. When you remember the former Tower of Babel, it was the same thing. People said, we can change, we can do that, we can build a tower, we can become like God. A perfect environment will not solve the problems of humanity. Only personal trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ can change a person's heart. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment, but they sinned. They sinned. So did their sons. When Jesus spoke about these things, he spoke in Luke chapter 21, verses 10 to 11. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. The people of the world want to solve environmental problems, but they reject the problem solver, Jesus Christ. When Obama became president, he said, we can. This is arrogance and this is pride. The rising costs and inflation and famines are planned and they're executed. Some of the greatest in this society is the Pope Francis, Prince Charles, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and many others. The World Economic Forum, the UN, are making plans and projects to do that. The UN resolution was adopted at the General Assembly on 25th of September 2015. Transforming our world, the 2030 Agenda for Sustained Development. That is the title. The first paragraph says, we, the heads of state and government and high representatives, meeting at the United Nations headquarters in New York from 25th to 27th of September 2015, as the organization celebrates its 70th anniversary, we have decided today on new global sustainable development goals. And Article 3 says, we resolve between now and 2030 to end poverty and hunger everywhere, to combat inequalities within and among countries, and to ensure the lasting protection of the planet and its natural resources. We resolve also to create conditions for sustainable, inclusive, and sustained economic growth, shared prosperity, and decent work for all, taking into account different levels of national development and capacity. So they have decided. When you read the 35 pages of this agenda, it sounds nice if you only look at it in a glance. But when you look at it much closer, you see the lie behind it. A perfect world without God, all achieved by humans. Ban Ki-moon, the former president of the UN, gave a lecture in 2016 with this title, Evolving Threats, Timeless Values, the United Nations in a Changing Global Landscape. A changing global landscape. In 2019, the WEF put the agenda, which goes in the same direction. In its 28 pages, it talks about food production and how to abolish meat. In order to have enough protein, they write, comes from the World Economic Forum, all proteins can include plant or algae-based rather than animal-derived foods, as well as insects and alternative foods that mimic the look, the taste, and the feel of meat, milk, and eggs. Insects, especially beetles, caterpillars, bees, wasps, ants, grasshoppers, locusts, termites, and crickets, as well as other land-based creatures such as snails, earthworms, spiders, have been collected from the wild and eaten by communities throughout the world for thousands of years, especially in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Bon appetit. The UN agenda for sustainable development informs government policies to restrict. It not only informs them, but he commands them to restrict farming and transform the food. The UN report says land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individual and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, therefore contributes to social injustice. The UN wants to get rid of private land farming, of private land ownership. So if you have land, they want to take it from you. We see this all over the world. This is not just happening in the Netherlands. A war is taking place against farmers and ranchers, especially those who are independent or those who are not part of the system. They want to remove small farmers, even medium farmers, from their land. They want to bring it all under the control of them. And that is fascistic public-private partnership. As example, the Chinese regime forces peasants, the people on the farms, to move into mega cities. Farmers are killed in South Africa. And the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States proposed a new rule that could bankrupt small and medium farmers. If you control the food supply, you can control everything. One of the things that the communists love to do is to create scarcity and create dependability. As long as you have independent people who are able to care for themselves, there really is no need for the government to run your life and to control everything that you do. The whole idea is to use food as a weapon has been the system of communist regimes for over 100 years. It's also been a hallmark of the very same people who are openly promoting the UN Agenda 2030, the Sustainable Development Goals, and even the World Economic Forum. Those who want to control demolition of our food supply want to completely restructure it in order to gain total centralized control of that, because it gives them abundance power over and everybody under their jurisdiction. Among the solutions advocated by the WEF to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions is replacing livestock-derived foods with alternative forms of protein, such as insects and lab culture proteins, according to the 2016 white paper of the WEF. The UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development orders government policies to restrict farming. The Secretary General of the UN, or the former Secretary General of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, he called the 2030 Agenda the Global Declaration of Interdependence. Interdependence, not independence, but interdependence. No more supporting each other. Their aim is to make everybody dependable upon them. You cannot do anything unless you do what they say. In fact, Bill Gates, he's buying land. He's the biggest landowner in the world. And governments, they're buying land. They're taking land from people. And if farmers are refusing to comply with them, they take their land by force. China plans to move 250 million people from farms into megacities. Protests led by the thousands of farmers in the Netherlands and other countries around the world have broken out in response to threatening new environmental regulations that are currently being pushed by the globalist entities like the European Union and the World Economic Forum. Let us see this short video. Farmers are protesting. These farmers, along with other working people and concerned citizens from across the globe, now know that their livelihood is at risk due to climate hysteria, the environmental extremism of the Great Reset. Dutch farmers are forced to reduce their animals by two-thirds until 2030. Whoever does not comply risks that his land will be confiscated by the state. I'm not telling stories, I'm telling the truth. Dutch police has shot a 16-year-old tractor driver because he was in a demonstration. They shot at him. Harmless person. No arms, nothing, and they shot him. Farmers and concerned citizens now know without question what measures could be pursued in order to silence opposition to backers of the International Great Reset, which could spell down for the livelihood of farmers everywhere. Let's look at another short video from Italy. So farmers everywhere rise up. They rise up, Dutch, Italian, Polish, German, and many other nations. They're growing into a global movement. And don't think, those of our listeners abroad, don't think this is only happening in Europe. It will happen everywhere, in every country of this world. In Switzerland, they plan that from 2050 on, you cannot buy meat or animal-related foods anymore. Migros, one of the biggest shop chains in Switzerland, is in advance of that. They want to do that. And whenever you go and into the shop and you want to buy something, it says vegan. Vegan means no animal-related things. So meat, milk, yogurt, cream, cheese, everything will be banned and replaced by artificial food prepared in labs. All of this is under the mantle of climate control because of the climate crisis. They claim all have to work together in this. Everybody has to take part so that the climate will change. Of course, we must take care of our environment. That is no question. But what they are doing is it's terrible. They are not concerned with the climate. That's the thing. They are not concerned about the climate whatsoever. They want people to move into cities so that they can control them. That is their aim. If you're living on the land, you can do whatever you want. You can support yourself, and nobody can control you. So they move the people into the city so they can control them. And it's like in Nazi Germany. You just do what they tell you, or you're in the trouble. It's pure communism. The reason they don't want to produce animal food is because they want to create a famine. That you see, they want to create a famine because hungry people do whatever they are told just in order to get food. The famine is not just happening, it's planned and executed. And the same thing is fuel. Fuel prices have been going up and up and up. And as fuel prices are going up, shop prices are going up. Panama is contemplating to close the Panama Canal, which will create even greater economic pressure. Behind all this are the globalists who want to reduce world population by one third or even by half. Their main target is Africa. They say Africans are useless. We have to get rid of them. And the African leaders, they don't check. They don't listen what is being said. I could tell you much more, but you have to research yourself. Why is it important that we know these things? Because they are signs of the end time. They occur with a full force during the tribulation before the second coming of Jesus. More than these things will happen shortly. The devil knows his time is short. And therefore, to extend his time, he started earlier. We have to stop him. These things are happening, are not supposed to happen yet. They belong to the tribulation period. We must pray and stop the devil from doing this kind of havoc. If you have land, never sell it. Never sell it. It's been given to you by God. No state has any right to confiscate your land. but we must pray. Stop Satan from what he is doing. For ourselves, it's important that we commit ourselves completely and utterly unto God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, it says, "So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages." God Almighty is in charge. Hallelujah. No evil can befall us. We trust in him with all our might. We won't be moved by what Satan is doing. Our God is our confidence. And to finish with another Bible verse, John chapter 16, verse 33, says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen.
Amen.
We see the world what we are in. Look at it in the spiritual context. Don't just look at the news and say, "Oh, this is happening." It has a spiritual effect. And with that, I finish my series on the book of Revelation. May God bless you. If anybody would like to have the 26 messages, please contact me, send me $10 or 10 Swiss francs, and I will send you a USB stick with all the messages in video and audio. God bless you.